This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, all perfect timing. I love it, love it, love it. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Monday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. My man Theo Fernandez walking right in the door. Man, I was ready to do this open about being here by myself. I've got ChatGPT pulled up with like some co-host comments that was going to feed me. But no, Theo is rolling in and we're ready to go. So here we go, Theo. I know, you're good. Take a deep breath. I'll tell you what to do. I'll do the intro. I know you're about to use some new equipment today. So what I want you to do is get your phone kind of what in that little clip right here where Mason does, and you open up the app that we talked about yesterday and the same one on your computer. I'll send you a link and you can join the show. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are all checking us out on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page. You're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We appreciate you checking us out right there. Actually, numbers are going up, 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 and I am so, so thankful for that. As we are in the summer season, things are getting a little slower. Theo, check your Twitter DMs, that's where the link to the show will be. So once you get yourself set up, they'll be in your Twitter DMs. You can go there, and I'll add you into the show. That way, we're all looking like we normally do with Mason. Everybody's in the same, like, little camera screen. What are we going to do today, though? We are going to take a voicemail from Dax on Alabama running backs. We are going to talk about Alabama softball as the Crimson Tide advances to the 19th. Their 19th Super Regional, getting past Virginia Tech, Belmont, and Jackson State over the weekend. They're going to be taking on Oklahoma in the Super Regionals. We will touch on Alabama's SEC tournament Tuesday morning. Tomorrow morning is going to hijack the show. We will be up in Hoover. We got to figure out what time we're going to do the show. That's going to be a big issue this whole week because Alabama is on the morning slot. You got 9:30 tomorrow against Missouri, and then it's the next day. Look, you're already there. You're figuring this technology thing out. Look, the young kids know technology so well. I gave Theo some quick instructions, and he is right there. He's about to join the show. You follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. I almost put just one underscore today, but it is the double underscore. Take a deep breath. You're good. Line yourself up. I'm not in a rush to get you. You're all good. I wanted to rip on you for being late, so the later you are, the more I can rip. It's all good. Woo! We had a fun time in Rhodes Stadium. I hope you guys joined us there. I hope you guys joined us on the comment section at Joe Gaither 6 at Bama Central. Leave us a voicemail like Dax at 205-462-7340. Extension 800. The only thing I'm going to say to you, Theo, it is perfectly fine for your camera. If you want to zoom it in for yourself, you're welcome to. Oh, that's the next thing. You got to mute your computer. You got to mute your computer microphone because we want you to be talking through this microphone, not on your computer microphone. Let's try that again.
Nope. That might be my phone.
Yeah, it is. I got you. It is. It's all good. It's all good. We're getting to there. We don't need that many microphones open. We were in Rhodes Stadium this weekend. Theo Fernandez, myself, Katie Windham.
I'm sorry, one sec. I'm going to jump in.
Oh, yeah. You sound good. I hear you nicely. Let's see.
Oh, no, see.
It's your computer. Hold on. How about that? No, see, I got it. I muted you from my end. So now it should be good to go. You're good? Yeah. Great. Say hello. Say hi to people.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
So, nice to not be on the couch this time. New angle.
Yeah. You may want to zoom that in so it's nice and tight on your chest, but you're doing great. You're doing great. Sweet. What are we gonna do, Theo? Do you want to start with softball? Do you want to do baseball? We got Dax voicemail, and I have some random ChatGPT questions, and maybe you have a football conversation. Yeah, you look good. You look good.
There we go. We are in business now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
What happened to 750, bro?
Man, I'm. It was an eventful morning. I apologize.
What happened? Did the alarm go off? Give it to it. We want the rundown.
Well, I'm a bit of a chaotic sleeper.
Ooh, I love it. Keep going.
So I have a tendency to, you know, move around a good bit. So my alarm goes off and my body basically decides to react to that by taking my phone, basically chucking it up in the air. And I have no clue where this thing lands. Now, it somehow lands, like it goes up high while I'm too like asleep to remember. Lands under my bed, somehow ricochets off the wall. So it's literally like dead under my bed, like dead center underneath. So I'm looking everywhere for it. And then finally I dig under and I wanted to shoot you a text, but you know.
But you couldn't find your phone.
I could not find my phone. So
wow.
I thought about just coming here without it. And then I remember now we're doing this webcam today. So it was an eventful morning.
All right. Let's ask the audience. Do you believe Theo's story that he threw his phone under the bed? It's okay if you do or don't. It's and really, Theo knows that he's not in trouble. But I think either that was the truth, the absolute truth, or a well-constructed, what can I say that's not going to get me in trouble?
I know Dax has my back on this one, right? After all my Bama and the NBA updates.
Absolutely. Dax absolutely has your back. Why don't we start with Dax? Because Dax starts with football. That'll give you a chance to take a deep breath. We're going to have the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, join us about 8:40 or so. We're going to be talking New Era Wrestling. Their next show is June 7th. So let's get a lot of action in before look, Julian says she believes you as well. Julian says good morning, and she says she believes you.
Thank you, Julian.
Julian. There you go. Yeah.
Julian.
Like a jewel. Lean.
Julian. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Exactly.
Much appreciated.
Exactly. Julian. And she is a number one listener. So you better be nice to her.
Every time. I always got to
Julian.
Be nice to
Julian. There you go. You got it.
There we go. Won't butcher that one again.
There we go. So Dax is on the voicemail line talking running backs. You can join him on the voicemail line with whatever topic you want to bring to the table. 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's hear it.
What is up, guys? It is Dax. Hope y'all had a wonderful weekend. So last time I talked about the wide receivers, the 4, 5, and 6, I thought I would do the running backs today.
Good choice.
First, a little tidbit about Jam. People aren't really high on him because he hasn't given us a reason to be high on him. But he has also never been in the running back one role. Like, he kind of was last year, but he was basically sharing carries with Justice Haynes when Jalen Milroe was getting, you know, all of the carries. So I think Jam is better than we think he is. Because he's going to get most of the carries this year, and I'm excited to see how he does. I mean, we got Richard Young.
All right, let's pause right there with Jam. I love the way he's doing this, setting us up, Jam, then Richard, and then we'll see where he goes after that. But right there, Theo, confidence level 1 through 10 in Jam Miller being your RB1.
Joe, I've been thinking about something you said a couple weeks ago, and I've thought about it a lot. Anytime this guy's name comes up, he doesn't inspire the confidence that other former Alabama running back. And I was looking for a way to describe Jam because I think I felt a similar way. And you just really put it perfectly. Because I agree. Like, I don't have a ton of confidence in Jam to be anything special. And I think that if our running game is going to excel, it's going to be because, you know, maybe Richard Young or maybe AK Deer really steps up. So I'm sorry, Julian, but I do not agree with what you're saying in those comments there. I think Jam is he's a solid feature back. I think he'll do what needs to be done in an offense led by Ty Simpson or Keelon Russell. I think, you know, we can get away with a non-elite running back, but I don't know if he has that next level to reach, honestly.
All right, so let's take Dax's point and dissect it, because I think he makes a good one. Jam was definitely technically the RB1 last year. He's your first running back. He's getting the first carries. You had Justice Haynes pretty much going 50-50, but Jam was getting your first run. But really and truly, your RB1 was Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, right.
So I think Dax makes a really interesting point. You take, I mean, Ty can run, but he's not going to be your RB1. He's not going to be, we're not going to be using, we're not going to be taking a chunk of the running plays for a quarterback. Ty's design runs are going to be like a 10% or something like that, very, very low. He's going to get some, but not a lot. I wonder if we're going to see a different version, a more consistent version. I just wonder what the running game is going to look like without Jalen Milroe under Ryan Grubb, under Kalen DeBoer, because I didn't think the offensive line really looked great last year in run blocking. I think they did okay, but I don't think they were ever really dominant. I think it was a lot more, you know, they ran pin and pull so much. Oh my gosh, pin pull. We're going to, you know, get the guy and just try to hit an alley. I didn't love the way they drove off the football. So all that to say is, do we think that Jam, are we underselling Jam because the whole system was a little bit wonky last year? The whole system was, well, our best runner is Jalen Milroe, and how can we orchestrate some quarterback runs? Okay, we're going to put these packages. And thus, Jam gets a little bit diminished. Jam gets pushed to the back a little bit. Are we underselling Jam Miller because of Jalen Milroe's running ability last season?
I mean, that's a very real possibility. And I think your guess is as good as mine is that one. Because
don't make a guess, because I'll say yes.
I'll say yes as well, but maybe not as much as some people may think.
That's fine.
I think that's my take on it.
All right, you want to keep going with Richard Young, or you want to keep going more Jam talk?
No, I mean, I can go any direction now. We got more from Dax.
Right.
Here it is.
This is Richard Young.
We saw some bursts from him last year. Just a little bit. He needs to work on that top end speed a little bit more, but I think Richard Young is going to be a really good second option. But here's the thing. We heard about Mr. Daniel Mountain like all of spring, so he might take over that second role by the end of the year if Richard Young can't hold him off, which I think Richard Young will be able to hold him off. I think they might split carries, though, because we heard some really good things about Daniel Hill in the spring.
Okay, first off, we need to make that a thing.
Daniel Mountain.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yes,
incredible.
His last name is Hill. We got a perfect Dax. I mean, perfect writer right there. The last name is Hill. He's a big old dude. No, Mountain. Daniel Mountain.
I love everything about that.
Don't, we can't skip Richard Young, but that was perfect, Dax. Richard Young. I think he's gonna be bull in the china shop.
You know who Richard Young reminds me of as a runner?
Tell us.
Isaiah Pacheco. I think they both run like they are just furious at the whole world. Like, you look at Richard Young while he's uncorking that run against Mizzou, that man just looks pissed about never having any playing time. And, you know, like, I've been a very big fan of his since last year. I just think he's someone who can be really impactful, and I think he'll get a larger share of the reps than most people expect, and I think he'll do some very good things in those reps.
Yeah, see, I think you're on to some. I think that rolling back to Jam, I think Jam is going to get your first opportunities pretty much all 12 regular season games. I think he's going to get your first runs, but I think you're splitting carries a lot. I think it almost might get to a point where Alabama fans are frustrated with how much they're splitting carries, because you're going to be in December going, you can't get anybody in rhythm because they're only getting, like, look up our game logs last year, and it was 9 carries for Justice, it was 11 for Jam, and it was like 1 for Richard, and then it was like 14 for Jalen. I think that you will up the running back production, but the disbursement of the carries will still be very high. I think that Jam, Richard, Daniel Mountain, I think that Dreeland Washington, he's probably going to get to Dreeland Washington, is going to have a role. And I think those four are going to be your kind of, hey, we're going to use these four guys where we see fit. And then maybe A.K. Deere and Kevin Riley squeeze some garbage time. But I think a lot of this here is going to be let's accentuate the skills and the players that we have. I don't think that, like, that sounds like I'm saying that Ty Simpson's not good. That's what that sounds like when it comes out of my mouth. But that's not what I'm trying to say. I think that your wide receiver talent, one through five, and your running back talent, 1 through 4, and your offensive line talent, 1 through 6, is all so dang good that you just need the quarterback to just fit in. And if Ty Simpson is really, really good, then you're just falling all over yourselves. But if he's just above average, you're accentuating this other talent because they're so good. I think it's going to work out really well, but you're just going to use so much of these running backs, so many of these wide receivers. I don't know that you're going to be, oh, that's the one guy we're leaning on, and if he goes away, we're up a creek.
No, so I agree. First of all, especially on the receiver side.
Sure.
Because, I mean, those guys would be fighting for so many, you know, yards, touchdowns, whatever. Like, some of the numbers will be so much lower than people think. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised that you don't have A.K. Deere producing more.
I love him. I think he's I love him, but I think he's going to – I think the room is so stacked. And I – you know, every time we asked about – I asked about A.K. Deere twice in spring to Ryan Grove, and both times I got a very – not that Ryan Grove was mean, but I've got a very dry answer. I asked him the first time, it was like 2-3 days into practice, and he goes, yep, he's got a lot of room to grow. And then at the end of the year, he kind of – at the end of spring, he kind of had a similar – he's growing. Like, it's work in progress. I think his talent is super high, but I don't know how much he was asked to pass block in the state of Mississippi in high school, to be perfectly honest with you, which, goodness gracious, that's not specific to A.K. Deere. That's every high school really quality running back. Kind of falls under the radar. Derrick Henry didn't know how to pass block when he came here either. I think that there's just a little bit of a learning curve from – you're the man in Quitman, Mississippi, to welcome to Tuscaloosa. Let's learn some high-level football.
So you think he takes a red shirt, or you think we're seeing him out there enough for him to avoid that? Or,
well, with the red shirt rules as they are now, I think you will take a red shirt, but you will still see him. I love what they did, 4 years ago, when the four-game rule?
Yeah.
That's an amazing rule. You're going to let A.K. Deere. That's what we want. We want A.K. Deere to run the ball against Eastern Illinois, and there's one more, and Louisiana, Louisiana as well. But you want to be able to get those reps and not burn the red shirt. I love what the NCAA did with that. To your question, yes, I think we will see him, but not enough to burn the red shirt. Well, you know, postseason's free. Yeah. Postseason's free, so those 12 games, I think you'll see him 3 or 4 different games, so that he can stay under the redshirt threshold. And then postseason, you may see him, you know, sprinkled in, maybe. I doubt it, though. I would doubt it.
You see, I didn't even realize that was a newish rule.
Yeah, it's because you're so young.
Yeah, no, I was like probably sophomore year of high school, like around the. That's surprising to me that guys weren't always able to go and do that.
The evolution of the roster, I mean, of eligibility is so funny, you know, but way before I was born, freshmen weren't even allowed to play or like you got, oh, superstar freshmen, which was rare, but like weren't even allowed to play. And then you end up, you play one snap, you burned your red shirt for a long, long time. One snap, you burned your red shirt. And then what, maybe that rule's 5 years old. Maybe time is running together for me. But it feels like that rule was started around the time of the college football playoff. So maybe it's closer to 10 years old, but it does still feel new to me.
Yeah, wow. Okay, that's very surprising to me.
Yeah, I think AK is going to play, but not enough to burn his red shirt. All right, so we got Jam Miller, we got Richard Young, and we got Daniel Mountain.
Daniel Mountain.
I'm writing that on like literally every time I talk about him. Daniel. Okay, so we should decide. Is it Daniel quotes Mountain Hill, or is it just Daniel Mountain, or is it Daniel Mount parentheses Hill, or what do you think the best way to market that? And look, Daniel, when this is your NIL, this is your NIL path right here.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no doubt on that one. Like, he should be selling these shirts as of tomorrow morning.
What do you think the right? Is it just Daniel Mountain and people should just assume, or do we need to put it in quotations and put Hill or like a middle name? What do you?
I think it's funnier if it's just Daniel Mountain. I think that's the only way to do it. Here.
Make it an inside joke that only people like. Who the heck is Daniel Mountain? And then when I see him, they're like, "Oh, that's him."
Yeah, right. Like it
they connect the Hill to Mountain.
There needs to be that, you know, inside factor for it to really connect with people. I think.
All right. So from here on out. There is no Daniel Hill.
There's no Daniel Hill.
It's Daniel Mountain on this show forever.
Mr. Mountain, if you ever need a marketer, you shoot me a DM. I'm not actually allowed to do that. It's my work for Crimson Tide Productions, but I'm not allowed to be involved with NIL in any way, shape, or form.
So if I get an athlete on here, you got to be off the show if they're sponsored by Billy's Barbecue that day?
Yeah, like if you or Derek Daniels State Farm Studio is like sponsoring that or anyone, like, yeah, no, I theoretically cannot be there.
Wow.
It's shocking to me.
Crimson Tide Productions, because y'all are affiliated with the university?
Yeah, technically UA, athletics, employees, you know. I had to quit my job with the Crimson White when I first started there.
Wow.
And, you know, it led to me getting multiple better jobs doing writing. So, you know, thank you, Crimson Tide Productions, for that one, but... Yeah, no, they take it seriously there.
Yeah, every time that I've ever met a student, I work with Crimson Tide. They're always high level people.
Oh no, it is some of the most skilled people I've met here.
All right, let's keep going with Daniel Mountain.
And then running back four.
I'm gonna back up like 2 seconds.
We heard some really good things about Daniel Hill in the spring. And then running back four, I think we've got Mr. Kevin Riley. He is by far the fastest running back in the group. But I think the reason he's not getting as much playing time is because he needs to work on that pass protection. That's what we like, is a running back to be able to freaking block anybody coming from anywhere. You got to be able to block in the running back. And then A.K. Deere at number five. Oh, man, I can't wait for him to get his feet under him and get some experience. A.K. Deere is a machine. He's just got to get them reps. So, those are my thoughts on the running back. Let me know what y'all think. Roll Tide.
Running back, y'all. You don't even know what reference that is.
I do not know.
Oh, my gosh. You need to go watch Remember the Titans today.
That's a Remember the Titan. I've seen that movie twice, but that one just didn't land.
Was that Petey? Running back, y'all. He comes all in. They're all introducing each other. And yeah, saying what positions they play.
That's never a bad one to rewatch. I just rewatched Mr. 3000 last week. I've been running through some old sports movies.
Bernie Mac.
Yeah. it was better than I remembered it.
Oh, what a year.
Remember the Titans is a classic. I should run that one back.
Okay. Well, what do you think about these running backs? Let's put a little bow right here.
Dax, is Kevin Riley really the fastest in the group?
That's what they say.
I don't know
what they say.
Well, I know we love him. I know we love what he did here at County High and
go Wildcats, 7A state baseball champions. Congratulations!
Absolutely incredible. By the way, that caught everyone by surprise. One of the cooler things we covered at WVUA this year. I don't know a ton about Kevin Riley, and I wasn't here while he was here in high school.
That's fine. He's right. He is very fast.
Might be over.
I'm not sure what kind of role he has on in the program. I think that he's, you know, not anybody that you have to worry about. I'm just not sure if he's going to find a big role on the field. I like him. I mean, and he was super top notch when I covered him at County. Absolutely. But I just think the room is so full. I'm not sure where he fits in. And perhaps that's my own ignorance, and I will own that. Absolutely. All right, let's move on. We're going to have the Alpha Alexander Lincoln join us in just a minute to talk about New Era Wrestling. We're going to talk about WWE. We're going to talk about AEW. We're going to talk about the next show, June 7th. June 7th at Swan Gym is their anniversary show. Who can dethrone the alpha Alexander Lincoln? Is Theo going to challenge him? We'll see. But before we get to that, I want to get into what we were doing this weekend with Theo Fernandez. We were at the Rhodes House, and we saw Alabama softball qualify for their 19th Super Regional. This year, the ladies will go to Norman to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. What are they, the four-time national champions?
Four-time defending.
Yeah. Gross.
Unreal.
But Theo, just the weekend action. I was pretty impressed with the program as a whole, considering everything we have seen them deal with this year. Inconsistent offense, maybe not so clutch pitching moments in some instances. This weekend, I was really impressed because basically you took the hammer to Jackson State, as you should, and they proved to be the worst team in the regional, losing to Belmont the next day. You took the hammer to them 8-0, and everybody went home early on Friday because of your efforts. Well, well done. I mean, if you're the best team in the regional, you should do that to the worst team in the regional. And then you win 2 one-run games against Virginia Tech. Basically, both games were on a knife edge the entire 7 innings. And to me, Alabama held its cool. Alabama, the nerves of steel through all of, 14 innings of action, despite a couple of missed opportunities, just really impressed me. And I don't know if it means that they can go to Oklahoma and they're going to win. But I will say that it looks like to me a lot of the lessons that you've been hammering all year long really looked like they were baked into this team over the weekend.
The most telling stat about this team, something that I included in wrote an article about it on the Friday game. Alabama, second in the SEC this year with 59 errors, which is now 60 because they'd won over the weekend, right? 57 of those 60 errors came in the team's first 48 games. They have just 3 over the last 12. I mean, you don't see turnarounds like that. Like, you don't just see a team do something at that, to that frequency that whole season, and then it literally just stops, you know. And these errors, like, they weren't just any errors, like
crippling.
We had 2 errors that both led to 2 unearned runs in each of the rubber matches against Mississippi State and Florida. We lost both those games by 1 run. Like, there is 2 series right there that we win if it isn't for errors. You know, blown saves have been a problem too. We
shoot you.
And that's an understatement right there. You know, Jocelyn Brisky able to come in, you know, in the 7th inning against Virginia Tech, trying to clinch a spot in the Super Regional. Just lights out, you know, just casually strikes out the NCAA's second best hitter, leading slugger. Like, the defense was the story. They were incredible.
Yeah, you realize the fan base's kind of perception of the softball program is really good, but maybe not quite good enough. Okay, fine. You've made Super Regionals for the 19th out of 20 years, and now 4th year in a row. You missed in 22. I just think that your point, or what you're getting at, is coaching. It is really, you know, people get online, and Patrick Murphy's not good enough. Only 1 national title. Just crying because they want more national championships. But I think you take this team from February, start of the year, early February. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like the 10th. I think it was the first game, something like that. From the 10th until now, you just clean up so much. The maturity, so much better plate discipline. I mean, yesterday the game breaks wide open because the ladies basically Dukeshire drew like an 8-pitch walk, and then they walked in a run for Audrey Vandergriff. Her walk was 5, 6, 7 pitches, something like it was a deep at bat as well.
You can't forget that girl falling down in the outfield on that hit from Johnson.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, and sometimes.
Do you think she would have got there?
She would have. I mean, that's a that ball probably drops.
It hung up there in a while.
It hung up there a while. And you know, I look at Lauren Johnson hit that ball. And this was two runs for Alabama. You know, this turned it from a 1-0 game to a 3-0 game. I think it was in the fifth. And you just look in the outfield, and that girl's on the ground. Like, she stumbled or something. And, you know, that's all it takes in a game like baseball or softball. And that was the difference maker, which is crazy because, you know, that's a game. You know, so Virginia Tech's coach was asked in the press conference by one of the Virginia Tech reporters over Zoom, like, what made Alabama so much better than you guys? Why were they able to pull it out? Like, Alabama wasn't so much better.
That's a bad end. Yeah.
It was a 1-2, 1-run game. That's the coach kind of like was
good for him.
A little exasperated over that one, as I would be, because
he lost two nail biters.
And mind you, Virginia Tech could have very well been the Blacksburg regional. Like, we could have been playing there. You know, the difference in the ratings was razor thin, really. And, you know, it was a very, very, very evenly matched game both times. You know, and it was when we played them in March. So it really just, you know, pitching was the difference, honestly.
I kind of hate to hear that you say that, because I did leave the press room. I was just in there for the Alabama side. I kind of hate to hear that because I thought Virginia Tech acquitted themselves very well. I mean, you get a 2-run home run in the seventh inning, and I thought, oh my gosh, here we go. I thought, oh no. Were you on the text thread with one of our coworkers that was starting to talk about a collapse in the seventh inning? Or was that not? We had a coworker text us as soon as that home run hit, going, "Oh, here we go, gonna blow the." And I thought, dude, we're trying to write a story and go home here, not see a second game. Hush your mouth a little bit. It was a good weekend. Good weekend in Rhodes. Patrick Murphy, I hope you got home okay.
Yeah.
Did you give him a ride home?
Should have offered, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was there, you know, for those who don't know, like, tree fell.
Lots of trees fell in Tuscaloosa. Lots of them.
Which I wasn't even aware of at the time, but, you know, hope everyone's doing well because of that. But, yeah, no, his road was blocked. It's crazy.
Funny. All right, Theo, you got any other topics before we turn our attention to the Alpha Alexander Lincoln? We're going to transition to talk about some New Era wrestling, but you walked in a little late, and I want to give you a chance to get anything off your chest.
No, I do not, but I took what you said to heart. I came up with an Alabama football topic. Ooh. Next week. This is too long to get into right now. We're going to have a fun little talk next week. I think I have a fun one for us.
Are you going to say anything of what it's about?
I'm not. You just have to everyone's going to have to spend the next 7 days wondering what I'm bringing up next week.
Bear Bryant? Frank Thomas?
I don't know what direction you think Cornelius I'm going Bennett? Here.
Leroy Jordan? Mark Ingram?
We're going current Alabama. We're going...
Jerry Judy?
It's getting colder and colder. You're not getting colder than Frank Thomas. Nothing will get worse than that, guess.
All right, you're going to have a current topic. All right, well, here's what we're going to do then. We'll just have you lead the show. You feel good about it, and you look like you feel good about it, we'll just have you lead the show.
I think it'll be an engaging debate.
Engaging debate. Okay, engaging. Are you going to bring what engaging debate could you bring? I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out next week with Theo Fernandez. We're going to make that the first segment. I'll just do our generic. Blah, 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 blah. Welcome to the show, Theo. What you want to talk about? You can just lead us right in.
And then 50 minutes breaking down if Frank Thomas is the most overrated Alabama football coach of all time. That's what we're getting next week.
That would be great.
That would be great.
I would love that. All right. So next week, Frank Thomas, is he overrated or not? But this week, it's New Era Wrestling after we talk to you about Warren Tyre.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
All right, we're going to have a lot of fun. We've been having a lot of fun in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Thank you so much for joining us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, talking a little Alabama football, running backs with Dax on the voicemail line, talking a little NCAA regionals with Theo, Alabama's ladies going out to Norman, Oklahoma this weekend. Let's shift gears. We're staying right here in the state of Alabama, and we are going to plug in with New Era Wrestling. The Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, the open weight champion, joins us after being attacked by masked men, having two shows now. First things first, I have to apologize to the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. So, Theo, just give me a second, and to the audience. Had two shows that we talked about just a little bit. We had some promo codes. And I was like looking at my calendar. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be out of town. And I didn't know what to do. I should not have backed away and not said anything. That's what we did. That was the wrong move. We apologize for that to the audience and to New Era Wrestling. We're not going to do that this time. We have June 7th, anniversary 7 is what this looks like in Swan Gym. We're going to follow up from Clash of the Keystone. We're going to follow up from Unresolved. Bad Moon Rising. We're going to follow up from Unresolved with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln and set up the anniversary show. So with all that, apologies out of the way. Good afternoon. Good morning, Alpha. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, very good. Very good. How was your weekend? Are you safe from the storms? We'll start there. I'm sure the champion was out there cutting trees and making everybody happy.
Yeah. My wife and I actually had a staycation. We went into my in-laws' house because they're out of town, and we had an overnight babysitter, and we had all this big plan. And I guess it was like right at 6 o'clock yesterday morning when that storm hit. And so lost power, and we didn't feel great about leaving our babysitter with our three children with no power for like 3 or 4 hours. So we pulled the plug on that and had to go home, but we're good. Yeah, we got power back about 8:30. There's still some big trees down over by Sokol Park. And I've went down that road three times since then, twice this morning. Like, you can't go through it. I don't know why I keep thinking that I can. So I turn around and just go back the other way, but no, we're good. So thanks for asking.
Good, good, good. Sunday morning, I went over to church, and only one of our power lines was down. I thought, that's okay. That's no big deal. But then everyone at church was trees in my neighborhood, damage on this area. So just hopeful to all of our listeners in the West Alabama area and really everywhere, if you're safe from all the weekend storms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alpha, I want to ask, I want to get us back up. We can watch Clash of the Keystone, which was awesome. You can watch Clash of the Keystone that happened a couple of weeks ago on YouTube. New Era, just pop in New Era Wrestling, and it's going to be one of the first things that pop up to you on YouTube if you missed the show. But I missed Unresolved. I was had to go see A Man About a Horse. And so did we find out? That's what I want to start with. Did you find out who attacked you guys? You and Bubba Cagle, Mr. 1985, were in the middle of an epic championship bout. The first, your first title defense after winning it here at the Crimson Clash. It was interrupted by a masked man. What is the fallout from Unresolved?
Let's see. So I started that show, and we called out the masked man. As you know, there's been a lot of I got a lot of response on Facebook about that.
It was Theo. It was Theo.
It was Theo. Everybody wanted to know who it was. I want to know who it is. I was cut off by one of your favorites, Damian Serotonin. And so, you know, to make the best use of our time, you know, he doesn't wear a mask. He didn't need to wear a mask. He never has. And he came out, and I think, you know, since you weren't there, you don't know that I did offer the masked man an opportunity at the New Era Open title if he would show himself. And that's when Damian showed up, requested that championship opportunity for himself. He made a good point that was true, and I admitted it, that I've not ever been able to beat him when it mattered. And so couldn't let that go. So that was our main event at Unresolved, was myself and Damian. Came out victorious. It still says champion under my name here.
That's right. We're not going to let that snake take the title.
He got a little help from the Dragon, his mentor, during that match. And I ended up getting a little help from Stone Phillips, who's had a tough time with Damian. So it was a big mess right there at the end. But it was a really fun show. And then after that, after all the dust had settled, our buddy showed back up, the masked man, again, as if from nowhere. and so at that point, I'm not proud to admit I was pretty cooked already. So he's on me pretty good. And it was then that Dawson Kimbrell made his much anticipated return and kind of cleared the ring. Dawson's a friend of mine. He trained with me. Well, I trained under him some when I first started. He's been missing from New Era for about 18 months or so. He had a quick appearance in our Resolution Rumble, but he had some stuff going on in his life. I think he had like 3 kids in like 12 months, it seemed like. I don't know if that's possible, but he had a lot of kids really fast. But now, and there was some speculation that he was even the masked person, as you may recall. So anyways, Dawson cleared the ring and gave me a, you know, helped me out there and requested an opportunity to get his championship back that he lost before he left. So so our main event at Anniversary is going to be the Dynasty, Dawson Kimbrell versus myself for the New Era Championship, June 7th at Swan Gym. So that's a lot of words to try to paint. See if this is easier if you come, so you kind of know this, right? So
absolutely. And I definitely, Theo, why are you attacking the Alpha Alexander Lincoln with a mask? Why are you doing this?
I mean, that'd ruin the fun if I told everyone that.
You know you can't beat him straight up.
Oh, yeah. I would never try, you know?
Then why are you doing it? Because, like, the goal is the championship, right?
Yeah. That's what you got to shoot for.
I'm sure you're just a body double for the real masked man.
Hey, I'm on his payroll. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay. All right. I see that. All right. So, well, I am not on anyone's payroll, but we're on the side of justice and truth. On June 7th, it's Swan Gym Anniversary is going to be right there, and you'll be able to see the Alpha Alexander Lincoln take on his mentor, Dawson. What's the win-loss record with the mentor? Have you ever taken him on before? Obviously, he is a former champion.
I touched him one time at the Resolution Rumble. We had an exchange, and it's kind of short-lived, and everybody went their own separate ways. So we've never had a match before. We've never wrestled in any real sense ever. So I can tell you that he's really good, and he looks like he was cut out of a piece of granite, which is kind of intimidating. But he's very talented. You can find some of his stuff if you care to look. You know, you can find him on YouTube and so on. He's had some big time matches. He's a 2-time New Era champ, I believe. Resolution Rumble winner. He's wrestled all over the state. He's extremely talented. So it should be a fun show. He's an honest guy, you know. So it'll be one of those where we're both going to have to bring our best. You know, I don't think that he. I don't think that he understands, you know, what I am today. You know, I think in his mind, maybe there's a little bit of what I was when he first met me. And if he comes with that mindset, then it'll be over before it starts, I think. But I'm not going to underestimate him. I can tell you that.
18 months is a long time to grow and change. And obviously you have grown and changed enough to put a belt on around your waist. So watch out, Dawson. Don't take the Alpha. Don't take the Alpha lightly on June 7th. Now, I want to talk about ask you about Clash of the Keystone, because I'm watching it on YouTube over the weekend, and I seem to remember storms, just nasty. I mean, storms have been the theme of the interview, I guess, a little bit, but just nasty storms in the state of Alabama that weekend. How was it wrestling outside with wind and kind of swirling action at the Clash of the Keystone?
Yeah, so that was a big concern all week. My brother, Joe, this is kind of his backyard where we had the show. And so he was really, really promoting it, really pushing it, and had a big match in the main event. And so he was extremely nervous about it, the same way I was about Crimson Clash. Because if you remember that back in March, we had a similar situation, and it turned out perfect. Well, anyways, we had decided that we were going to make a decision on Thursday whether or not we were doing it. And Thursday, things didn't look any better, you know, on the radar. But I told him, I said, look, we're just going to do it. I don't really quite know how, but we're just going to be there and we're going to do it. And if we have to postpone it for a little bit or start it later or whatever, we're just going to do it. So everybody got there. And I think the ring showed up right around 4 o'clock. And so the crew that they have that does that, who does a fantastic job setting that up, by the way, started unloading it. And it was about then that it just, you know, came up monsoon. So we had a plan if that happened, is that there's certain things that can get wet and there's some things that can't. So the things that can't, we had already taken inside. And anyway, so it started, I think, from about 4:15 to like 5:20. It was just this monsoon. And then the radar showed us like a 20-minute break. And so we had a plan. We were going to go out there and, you know, do what we could and then wait for the next one to end. And we had sent out a notice that we were going to delay the start 30 minutes. Anyways, it stopped. And that 20-minute break happened. And then it just never came back. And so it just, I mean, literally when we started the show, it was beautiful outside. It was a little bit of a breeze. So it was one of those things where, you know, God's grace was with us and we got to do it. You know, that show's a big fundraiser for the Keystone Club. So it was feel like we had a little added protection there. So it turned out perfect.
That's awesome. That's awesome. God setting you guys up for a great evening. It looks beautiful on YouTube, to be honest with you. The outdoor aesthetic, maybe some of these street lights, it really comes off great on YouTube, to be honest with you. Jack, you need to check this out. Theo, you need to check this out. Type this in, mute it so it doesn't come over the air. But watch this as I'm chatting with you. Okay. New Clash of the Keystone 2. Or you can just type in New Era Wrestling, and it's like the first video. It looks awesome. You can just tell how cool it is, temperature-wise, and then everybody seems real energized that night. So I'm really glad it turned out well for you guys.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Great main event. We had the inaugural Keystone Championship match, so that'll be something where that title's defended. Right now, I think we're trying to do two shows a year there. So that'll be specific to that venue. And my brother was able to win a fatal four-way elimination in Joe. So he's the current Keystone champion. So we hope to do one in October, possibly November. You know, when you get in the fall, football is a thing. So we're looking at maybe that weekend where Auburn and Alabama, I think it's like the Saturday before Thanksgiving, where they're kind of the games aren't the greatest games, you know, potentially. Maybe they're earlier in the day. We could do the show at night. So we'll see.
Alabama having Eastern Illinois that weekend. That's November 23rd, 22nd.
Yeah, we're hoping for a couple of 11 o'clock kickoffs that day. So
I think that might be in the cards. Yeah. Absolutely. And you got two Alabama bye weeks in the fall. Speak about that. I mean, just how difficult it is scheduling everything, trying to get people to come in to watch New Era Wrestling.
Yeah, no, it's always something because there's obviously football season. So you schedule in the bye weeks for the Saturday shows. And that typically those have done really well just because, you know, everybody's, you know, Bama's not playing or whatever. So get people to come out. And then you get into the spring and early summer and a lot of kids playing baseball and stuff like that. So the unresolved show ended up being great because it rained all day and all the ball games got rained out. So we were pushing stuff out there like, hey, we're still doing our show, so please come. And it turned out really well.
Now, the Alpha, I read on the internet, on the interwebs, that you had a recent birthday. So just another year older, another year wiser, another year stronger, another year that your competition cannot get any closer to you. Did you celebrate your birthday in championship fashion?
No, I'd say it was my third 39th birthday. So I'll let you guys do the math. And it was good. You know, I'm pretty easy. I just wanted to be with the family, and my wife and I went out this past weekend kind of late, but we had, like I said, that overnight babysitter. So it was good. You know, I didn't imagine that I would be doing some of the stuff I'm doing at 39 three times. But I feel great and I love doing it. And so it's going really well. Really, really glad to still be here.
So in a couple of weeks, you're going to be taking on your mentor, Dawson. On June 7th, right there, Swan Gym for anniversary. What are you doing to prepare for that? Are you going over old lessons with him? Are you going over old tapes? You said you only touched him up once, right there in the Royal or in the Rumble. What is the preparation like to prepare for your mentor?
For this one, mainly a lot of the same stuff I always do. But full disclosure, I'm trying to drop 10 pounds before that match because Dawson can move really well, and I need to be, I'd like to be a little bit lighter on my feet if I could be. And that's just, you know, no secrets. He knows he can move a lot better than I can. He's a good bit younger than I am. So I feel like that would be an advantage to me. So there's some, you know, some thinking of, you know, behind having a caloric deficit, but also on the countdown, that, you know, you don't need to be in a deficit for the match, right? So there's kind of some balance there that I'm trying to hit.
Ooh, so what's the secret to losing 10 pounds? Because I'll follow you.
eat less. I struggle with that, though. You know, like I've got a sweet tooth and all that stuff. And so I've got the MyFitnessPal going. And so I do my best to log that stuff. You know, when you're working out right now, obviously it's warmer outside, so I'm sweating more. So I've taken a lot more sodium. That's the thing now, you know, because when you're sweating, you're depleting sodium from your body. So I'm trying to do a lot of that, replace that. I've got a new supplement that I'm trying. So I don't know. I'm really bad at it, you know, because I don't like to not lift weights. And so, but when I'm lifting weights, I want to get all the protein that I can have, right? And so, but then that doesn't really go well with trying to cut weight. So it's hard. It's really hard.
So what I just heard right there is the Alpha Alexander Lincoln has a sweet tooth, cutting weight for the next couple of weeks, trying to get ready for this match. So his fans, the loyalists, what do they need after you win, obviously, and you've cut your weight? What's the sweet tooth that you're looking for your fans to, you know, wrestlers meet and greet? Here's my friendship bracelet. Here's my poster that I made you. Here's the art that I made you. What's the sweet treat that your fans need to bring? Are you a brownies guy? Do they need to bring you home baked goods, home baked cookies? What's the meet and greet after the championship win gift that the fans need to be baking? The Alpha Alexander.
Well, I had my choice. It's the Bluebell cookies and cream. That's like the go-to, but that'd be hard to transport. So my backup would be chocolate chip cookies.
So we will see a bunch of chocolate chip cookies in Swan Gym June 7th to celebrate the Alpha Alexander Lincoln defeating his mentor and remaining champion.
First of all, these Keystone highlights are unreal. I've just had them on in the background.
What you think?
You guys just like sacked a bunch of bodies and like you're hanging out by them. Like, man, this is fun. There's three bodies sacked on top of each other here. And the Alpha, you're right there. I was more entertained than I thought I would be watching those highlights. I'm very intrigued by going on June 7th now.
So is Mason on vacation or something? Is that what's going on? You got Theo in?
Mason's fired on Mondays. No. Mason on Mondays works at Home Depot. He has a real job that he maintains in case this job ever falls through. Sure. So that's his Monday fall through. And Theo is the replacement. Theo's a student from New York. Theo is, what are you, 19, 20?
Just turned 20.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Theo came to join me for night one of WrestleMania. Okay. Was that your first was that your first wrestling experience? What was that?
Yeah, now I wrestled all through high school, so
that
was my thing in high school, but I never watched any kind of WrestleMania, WWE, any of that. And I was honestly way more entertained than I thought I'd be. I mean, some of those fights, like, just watching, you know.
You wrestled in high school. You're still young. Yeah. You need to get involved in New Era Wrestling and see if you can challenge the Alpha Alexander Lee. You're kind of big. You're bigger than me by a little bit.
I think I'll hold off on joining you in the ring there, Alpha, but, you know, maybe in another lifetime.
Maybe. Well, New York, I mean, you know, pro wrestling's pretty big in New York. I mean, in the Northeast there in Philly, it's pretty big. So
I know.
Was your first experience. So
yeah, cool. I had a surprising amount of friends who were really into it. You know, it's honestly, I would agree that more people up there, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd say a higher percentage of people there follow it than they do down here.
Well, the, you know, Madison Square Garden is considered the mecca for pro wrestling. So they say that you haven't, you know, if you've wrestled at Madison Square Garden, you've made it. And so I have it on my bucket list to go to a show there. Me and my sons, we've kicked it around, and I just haven't done it, but it's definitely something I want to do.
Well, MSG is beautiful, no matter the event that you're attending there. It mm-hmm. lives up to the hype in every way, shape, and
form. Yeah. Go ahead.
So are you a Knicks fan, Theo?
I'm actually a Thunder fan, which is, I like all the
That's
other
That's
because
he grew
teams.
Up when the Knicks were bad, and you're a Fairweather fan.
Y'all can... I was 6 years old. Thunder was the coolest name, you know?
I remember, not to get off topic, but I remember as a kid, like 99, 2000, I was playing basketball in high school and stuff, and I was just all into it. And a lot of weekends I'd be at my grandmother's house, and that was when the Heat and the Knicks had this great rivalry, and it was, you know, not bashing any of the players today, but like, you know, there was always some kind of a fight or something in those games. I mean, with Lonzo Mourning, P.J. Brown, Tim Hardaway Sr. was the point guard on that team. But like Larry Johnson, Charles Oakley, John Starks, obviously Ewing and Allen Houston. Like those games were so much fun to watch. And I think that was the little window of time when Jordan was potentially out or had just retired for the last time. I can't remember, but those were fun games to watch. It was the last time they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, too.
Yeah, no, the Starks and Oakley were incredible. They were the lifeblood of those Knicks teams. They were
a much more physical game back then.
Oh, trust me, I wish we could go back to that now.
Theo, is your hometown just like on fire right now because of the developments in the NBA? Is everybody just juiced up, excited?
No, like when the Knicks are good, it takes over that city to a level that like even the Yankees can't pull off, you know? Like when right now it is, there's not a single person not talking about the Knicks up in New York.
That's how the Bears are when the Bears are good.
Mind you, I was never there like when the Knicks had a season like this. So I don't get to experience it firsthand ever, but.
Was that dude on the billboard? Was that what I was seeing on social media? Dude was up on a billboard and like swaths of people down below him were just like going nuts.
They're still cursing out Trae Young every random, you know, every time they have a chance and stuff, you know, for a series 4 years. Knicks fans are awesome. I can't hate on them at all.
All right, let's tie this all up a little bit. Tie some strings here. The Alpha, you talk about Madison Square Garden and Theo. We'll get two perspectives in one. November 8th, Alabama basketball is playing in MSG. You're playing St. John's. Theo, you're from New York. I want both of you. Unlimited money. You get a ticket to either. You got to choose. Alabama LSU football in Tuscaloosa. Best seat in the house. You pick your seat. I don't care. 50-yard line. Or going up to New York, Alabama St. John's basketball in MSG. Best seat, you know, mid-court. Theo, what's the? I've never been to MSG. That seems so enticing to me. Is that a more enticing event than Alabama LSU in Bryant-Denny Stadium? How do you weigh those two on the same day?
We play LSU in Tuscaloosa every other year. Man, like I would, and a little less so because I got to see Alabama in Newark for the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, but. Still, like, that would just be such a cool experience going up there, seeing us go against one of the greatest coaches of all time, seeing us go against just such a great program, such a great team right now, you know, just such a historic venue. That's college basketball history right there. Like, that is, man, I don't think I'd pass up that game at all.
I think I have to agree, because I think, obviously, I've seen Bama LSU, you know, many times in person. We get to see that every other year. Obviously, you know, football is the top thing, but I do feel like we've entered an era of Alabama basketball where, you know, for the last 18 years, lots of people have stories about Alabama football and where they went and where they stayed and what they saw. And I do feel like we might be entering an era of Alabama basketball where some memories are to kind of be made in that same sense, right? So I enjoy going to New York. Me and my wife enjoy going there. I've not been to MSG, so I would probably, you know, now you've got my wheels spinning about that. So now I may have to figure that out, how to get there.
I think that's a tough day for Alabama fans, just having both great events on the same day, but exciting. Very, very exciting.
Well, you could, depending on the tip-off. You know, one year I went to I watched Alabama LSU play in 2000. I think it was 2000. It was 2010. It was the year we lost three games at the Ainsworth, which at that time was a bar in New York that was basically on Saturdays during football season was rented out by the Alabama Alumni Association there in Manhattan. I don't know if that's still a thing or not, but so it was like, you know, it was just like, so you could hit the MSG, you could hit the Ainsworth for the game, and then hit MSG for basketball and have the full experience.
That sounds perfect to
me.
That's
the dream right there.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to New York before. I would love to go.
Really?
Yep. Just Chicago. I've been to Chicago maybe 4 or 5 times. Never New York.
You got to make that happen at some point soon, Joe.
Absolutely. Let's spin it back to wrestling just a little bit. We got a Saturday night main event coming up this Saturday. So that'll kind of get us warmed up for anniversary on June 7th in Parrish, Alabama. Start getting warmed up. Saturday night's main event is going to be, to me, I mean, I'm the easiest person in the world. It's going to be fun. You're reading online. It's not a good show. It's not a great show. I'm going to have so much fun this Saturday watching R-Truth and John Cena put on probably a comedy match, and then Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest in a steel cage. Those two, that's enough for me. The rest of the card's going to be fun as well, but I'll throw it right to you, Alpha. What do you think of the current storylines, where we're headed in WWE, John Cena's reign, and Saturday night's main event?
Well, I was not to go back in time too far, but I was pretty disappointed with the WrestleMania main event. I think a lot of people were, just with the way it ended up. I felt like we could have got to that without having all the celebrity stuff. But, you know, I just felt like there was a better way to do it. But moving on from that, I really thought that John Cena and Randy Orton, that match, the main event of Backlash, was significantly better than the main event at WrestleMania. I thought they put on a really good show. You got to see all the things that you want to see, you know, tables, RKOs, crazy interference, you know, just all kinds of madness. Obviously, R-Truth getting involved. So I enjoyed that. I do think that R-Truth and Cena will have a good show. I think I don't know that they have said it, that this is for the title. I don't think it is. I didn't see that where it said for the championship. It's just like a match. So I have a, you know, potential. This is a bit of a reach, but is this the night that Cody Rhodes returns and R-Truth pins John Cena in a non-title match? I don't know. That's one possible ending. Probably not going to happen. But I just thought it was interesting that it didn't say it was for the title. So that, to me, kind of means that there might be some shenanigans around that. Or it also could be for the title and I just didn't see it. I think Drew and Damian will be really good. They're both really good. I think the Saturday night's main event has been fun. I think it's mainly been a venue to get just more eyes on the product for network television. So if you're booking some stuff that's kind of fun to watch, you know, you might catch more you know, non-obsessive fans, more casual types, I think. So I'm excited to see it. I'm really curious to see how they're going to book John Cena out the rest of the year and I mean, my money is pretty much on him dropping the belt to Cody in December in Boston. I think that's his last appearance is in Boston. So
looks like you're absolutely correct. I'm reading online. John Cena not defending WWE Championship Saturday night's main event, but will be in action. R-Truth is not interested in winning gold. He's vowing to beat some sense back into his childhood hero.
So to me, that's kind of, you know, honestly, that's kind of like a little bit of lazy booking, because to me, that's just like, okay, well, if they're not making it for the title, you know, there's got to be something. So, you know, there's some other piece to this. Like, why would you not, you know, just, you know, so anyways, but R-Truth character, he's not a very, you know, he's kind of just a goofball. So maybe he doesn't even think to.
He doesn't even know the title, that he has the title.
Yeah, could be.
So, Leo, what would it take to get you? How much money would it take to get you in a cage match? You and me, you know, nothing evil, nothing malicious, just for the sake of sport.
Who am I up against?
You and me.
Oh, I don't need money for that. I'll get right in there.
Perfect.
I'm right in.
See, like, you could actually kill me, but like someone else, someone more athletic, you probably need to be paid.
Yeah, no, like there are levels to it. You know, I think you know. Can I tag in Will Miller at some point? Like,
I don't know that would go well for you. Will's a little bit thin.
I believe.
I love Will, but he's a little bit thin.
I want to bring some people. Hunter Brantley, that's who I want.
All right, there you go. Hunter. I'm out. I'm dead.
Yeah, no, me and Hunter just, I don't think you stand much of a chance there.
Hey, Joe, with the Seth Rollins and all his deal, who do you think is his third man?
Oh, gosh. I would really hate for Sami Zayn to do the flip and do the haha, I'm the insider. I think that's what they're doing. I mean, he was a great heel for a long time, but he's a really, really good baby. I think that he works better as a baby face. Oh gosh, you know. Do you ever pull the trigger on the Grayson Waller Austin Theory split and you bring one of them into the group?
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, Carmelo Hayes is kind of taken up. I would have loved to seen Carmelo Hayes sucked into that group, but he and Miz are kind of doing something. I think they're going with Sami Zayn, but I don't really love that angle.
I think they're going to make us think it's Sami Zayn and then perfect. Something's gonna happen. I don't know who, you know. I don't know who.
If they do that, though, I'll be along for the ride and be like, yeah, whoever it is, great, perfect. We stumbled on a voicemail today, Alpha, that I think you could help us with.
Okay.
Dax called us on the voicemail and talking to Alabama running backs, and Dax gave us a nickname that we need to, as an Alabama entity, get off the ground. How about instead of calling him Daniel Hill, we're calling him Daniel Mountain? He just went right on. Oh, and that Daniel Mountain fella. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is a brilliant nickname.
It's fine with me. I'm good with it. He's a big kid.
What is your feeling with the Alabama football offense? We've talked a lot about it this offseason. We've done quarterbacks. Dax called on the wide receivers last week and running backs today. Let's just open a broad chapter. How does the Alpha feel about the Crimson Tide offense going into 2025?
Well, I hope that, you know, my feeling from everything I've seen, I got the benefit of going to a practice and watching some, and I didn't see anything there to indicate to me that Ty Simpson's not going to be the quarterback, at least to start the season. I think there's a lot of talent there. I think we have really great – I think offensively there's going to be a lot there. I just think, you know, great offensive line. You know, I think – I personally believe Will Conformby is going to deliver the goods. You know, true freshman. And he really, really had that tough game against South Florida. But I feel like when he got the opportunity to get back in later in the season, he did prove himself. He, you know what I'm saying? A lot of true freshmen, you know, I remember Lee Tippin's true freshman year as a kicker against Arkansas, you know, and it was, and then he ends up being arguably the best kicker, you know, that we've ever had, right? So, you know, a lot can change in a year, and I think he's done the work and will do well. I think, you know, we've got other guys there that have come back that are proven. Yeah, you know, I think we've got to be able to throw, you know, I love Jalen Milroe and all he did for us, but, you know, I think, you know, I was watching clips recently of the Georgia game, you know, and some of the balls he was throwing in that game. And I remember coming out of that game and thinking, man, I mean, like, I remember the next day I was on an airplane going out of town for work, and I was talking to a guy next to me, and I said, we've got the Heisman Trophy winner on our team. That's how I felt about Jalen Milroe after that game. I mean, he was that wheel route to Jim Miller, you know, I mean.
Oh, beautiful pass.
I mean, and just he was stepping up in the pocket and ripping it down, you know, just ripping it and hitting people in the chest. And I don't know what changed or how things got different, but it doesn't matter now. But, you know, we've got to be able to have that. I think for Coach DeBoer's offense to be what it's supposed to be, we've got to have somebody that can make the appropriate reads and deliver the ball where it's supposed to be when it's supposed to be there. And I hope that Ty can be the one that does that. I do give a lot of credit. I'm much more on culture and stuff. And I do think it says a lot that we didn't lose anybody else to the portal. You know, I think I was concerned. I really thought we were going to lose one of those three quarterbacks after spring. I don't know which one, you know, but I just thought, man, because I think all those guys are starters in their own rights, you know, at different schools if they're not all three to Alabama.
Agreed.
So that the fact that they all stayed, I think, says a lot. I'm just looking for – I hope Coach DeBoer, you know, just finds his groove with his people and his system. Obviously, with Ryan Grubb being here, you got to think that's a benefit. So those are my thoughts. I think we've got all the opportunity in the world. I think defensively we got, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of good guys coming back. And I do feel like after that Vanderbilt game last year, Kane Womack really kind of found his groove. You know, that Oklahoma loss really wasn't about defense, right? You know, I mean, that was turnovers in the red zone, pick six and stuff. So I feel like we're set up for some success. It's tough, man, following the GOAT, right? You know, it really is. I can't imagine how that might feel. I was watching. I'll shut up after this. You brought it up. But I was watching another clip, just scrolling the reels. You know, and one of them was Tony Brown coming down on a kickoff and just lighting somebody up on kickoff. And man, you know, there was Saban was 17 seasons, but for 11, probably about for sure 10 of those seasons, when we were kicking the ball off, there was legitimate concern from the team receiving the ball. That, you know what I'm saying, about safety? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there were serious, serious repercussions coming. And I don't feel like we've had that in the last few years where you have that mentality where when we kick the ball off, you know, like I'm waiting for, okay, someone's coming, you know. So I'd love to see that come back, but games changed a little bit, so maybe that's not going to happen. But I'm excited, and I'm with the team. I believe in them, and I think we're gonna have a great season.
I think you absolutely can get that mentality back, and I agree with you, man. Whew, the kickoff, watch out. Reuben, we're going to find the Matt, alpha, Alexander. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, Reuben, Foster, Mac Wilson, a lot of those guys, just, you know. Oh,
it probably was since Mac Wilson left in 20, right? Yeah. Mac was that was his last year, 20.
I think so. And he, I remember the Texas A&M kickoff when he was a freshman, you know, and just, whew.
Got to find some fellas that have no regard for their own health and safety.
Right. So,
anyways. Which is an antithesis of the direction of football right now.
Right.
Well, we've had a lot of fun with you, Lincoln, today right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. I appreciate your time. What we're going to do next Tuesday and the Tuesday after is be joined by Lincoln as well, or we're going to be joined by Bubba Cagle next week, I believe. We're going to be joined by the various New Era wrestlers setting up anniversary June 7th in Swan Gym. You're going to be able to find tickets on Eventbrite. As soon as that link gets out, I will do a much better job. I was so bad. I will do a much better job getting the link out so you guys can get tickets to anniversary June 7th in Swan Gym. I'll be there this time. I don't have anything anything on the sheet. I don't have anything on the calendar. So I'm looking forward to being there watching the Alpha Alexander Lincoln defend his open weight championship again and then eat all of your cookies. Bake him some chocolate chip cookies as he's losing weight right now. Give him something to look forward to. Lincoln, thank you so much for your time. I'll open the floor to you. Anything that you'd like to leave us with as you close? Anything that you'd like to just kind of tell the people until we hear from you again?
No, I think you covered it. As always, I appreciate you giving us the platform to talk about what we do and to promote it. It's a lot of fun. It's fun for families. It's an hour drive from Tuscaloosa to Northport. So, you know, please, you know, consider doing it. You know, the summers are long and they're hot. And so if you need something to do to get the family out of the house, please come give it a try. I promise you'll enjoy it. I do really expect to see Theo there, though. I mean, I think, you know, all this. So that's your responsibility, Joe.
I will make sure. Theo, clear your calendar June 7th.
Yeah. With Alabama. Baseball.
Clear your calendar.
Just bring your iPad and you can stream it. It's fine.
Exactly. We all have ESPN Plus on your iPad. You're fine.
We'll be there.
You know what's going to happen. They're going to go up to Hoover tomorrow. They're going to lose the first game, which they absolutely should not. They should not. But you know, and that's going to cost them the hosting line, and that's going to send the Alabama fan base into a frenzy. They're going to send the baseball team as a 2 seed to some other regional, and we're not going to host. And I'm going to be really angry about that, to be honest.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's been a great time with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln. He's going to join us again next week with Bubba Cagle, and we will talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gator. We're going to figure out what time we're doing it because the game is at 9:30 a.m. We'll figure that out with Mason. I'll let everybody know on the social medias, and we will talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gator Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.